Hey everyone, it's Megan.
And Rachel.
Nope, just kidding. Rachel decided not to show up for recording, so she doesn't get to do the intro. And that's just how it is. Oh, there she is. There's Rachel. Hey, Rachel.
Filming started at 5 o'clock, Rachel.
I was in a meeting with Megan.
I already did the intro.
Did you?
Grace asked me to.
Did you really?
I did.
That's hilarious. I'm not pleased by this.
You're not going to play along.
No, I'm not into okay, it.
We can do it over. Hey everyone, it's Megan.
And it's Rachel.
And it's The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast. We got a week.
Yes.
A week of stuff.
Yes.
To talk about.
By the way, I was super shamed when I came in because I was quote unquote late, even though I was in a meeting, and that is why.
It wasn't in quotes, it was just late. No, I'm kidding.
I'm like not, it's not my day, guys. Also, I was dealing with stuff, so.
I got
stop.
It.
Stop.
No, I get it. I had a week, can I say?
I mean, if you have to go first.
All right. You will appreciate this.
This could be anything. I'm very nervous.
It's Monday morning. I'm up early walking my dog, Penny. 6:30 a.m.
What is your dog named after?
Penelope Cruz Richardson Segura. It's her full name.
Right. Okay.
So walking her. I see that there's like a film crew. There's like you got the trailers. You got the craft services. And I don't, you know, I live in a part of Washington Heights where like I've never seen filming take place before. And it's at the opening of a park. So this was interesting. So I'm like, I wonder what like C-list like movie is being filmed here. Walking. Who was sitting on the park bench but Ice-T?
What? It was SVU.
It was SVU.
I should have guessed. I'm so mad at myself for not guessing.
So I think some sort of assault is going to be filmed in that park.
Are you so excited to watch and yeah. see your park?
Kind of.
Oh, there's so many things that could have happened.
I was so tempted to talk to him. Not like have a conversation, but just be like, oh, hey.
Ice-T.
I love you.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's 6:30 in the morning.
Right. He's probably tired.
Yeah. He was just sitting on a bench. I think he was, like, waiting for filming to begin.
I just remember on Throwback, on Kathy Griffin's My Life on the D-List, when she went on SVU.
Yes.
And, like, day one, she was, like, all jokes and, like, super happy. And by day two, she was, like,
in tears.
This show is so intense. The schedule is insane. They're all such professionals, and it's so crazy. It's
right.
so intense that, like, they take it very seriously. I didn't
yeah.
know.
Yeah, so for SVU fans out there, keep your eyes peeled for Fort Tryon Park.
Yeah, Mariska announced, I follow her on Instagram, of course, and she announced that season 19 is happening.
The other big part of my week, which was equally as exciting, is I got to follow Reza from Shaw's Around for like 2 days.
So cool. What was your rose and your thorn?
The rose was definitely having lunch with him because we talked about so much on and off camera that was like just, I mean, I wish I could share it all because just a lot of juicy gossip about like other Bravo lebs and like his encounters with them.
Can you do a blind item?
Oh, yeah. But this might be too blind. But I asked him who his worst Bravo leb encounter was. And it's a housewife. And it's someone that he said he idolized for so long. And then when he finally met her, she was, like, totally cold to him.
Oh. Who was it? Really? But speaking of, I was shocked the next day after he was in What Happens Live to wake up to Reza with no mustache and how slim he was. I was like, I'm kind of attracted to Reza.
I know
I had these feelings.
He lost 40 pounds.
Wow. That's crazy.
And it's funny because I was wondering walking around with him, like, are people going to come up to him? And he said to me that, like, a lot of people don't recognize him anymore because he looks so different. But once he started talking, people would recognize him. And it was, like, two straight men who, like, walked up to him and were like, can I get a picture?
Yet again, we underestimate
the male audience.
Yeah. Well, my week started off rocky because Friday day, so since I last spoke to you all, is where I'm beginning. My AC broke, and then my landlady couldn't fix it for like 4 days. And in the swamp that is New York City, it's terrible not to have AC. And I live in an attic, so it was extra terrible. And then one night, I just slept on an air mattress near an AC in my house. And so, yeah, that's the, where I was operating this week.
Bright side is you're on this new fitness journey.
Right, true.
And it's like your own personal sauna.
That's true. I'm just sweating it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I like this positivity.
Oh, my God. I forgot to mention the third best thing that happened this week.
Oh, my God. You're just having, like, a really good week, and I'm having a terrible week.
No, it happened with you, too.
Oh.
We got to interview Shannon Bedore.
Oh, my God. Yes. It was the best.
And I've just been waiting to interview her for so long.
I know. Megan's been like, this is, like, her cross to bear. Not interviewing Shannon Bedore.
So it met all my expectations and more.
But speaking of Vicky, I just want to say one thing to set the record straight.
But that's not the only Real Housewife we talked to, because Megan King Edmonds was here.
It's one thing to shake my hand, but like my lips? What?
Yeah. And we'll be talking about Below Deck Med finale, Roni finale, RHOC, and Shaws of Sunset.
Let's get into some breaking news.
Yes, please.
We are here with Laura Rosenfeld,
yes,
who works for The Dish.
Yes.
So you know it all.
Yeah.
Tell us what's
know it
happening.
All.
You're out there in the trenches with the housewives.
That's
all the
right.
Time.
Boots on the ground, heels on the ground. I don't wear heels. but yeah, big week last week, the end of last week. And I know everyone heard about it in your bonus episode about Tom and Luann, unfortunately. And now it's official. She's back to being Dilliceps.
Right.
Changed the name.
Yes. Even on the site where it's just as official as it can be.
Exactly. I mean, right. once you go Twitter, Instagram, Facebook,
yeah,
that's it.
BravoTV.com. Yeah. We're right up there with Facebook and Twitter, really.
Right. That's right. So, yeah, no more D'Agostino. She's Dilliceps on the web. Dilliceps in real life.
Now, Rachel was hoping that if she changed her name back, she'd also go back to an uppercase A.
Right, I want the A back.
That's right.
But she's still lower, right?
It's as far as I know,
little
still
A.
Lowercase A.
I just still don't get the change. Like, what at how? What, I don't want to age her, but as a woman who's years old, why all of a sudden change the way your name is spelled?
Well, there's an article that explains it on BravoTV.com.
Oh.
We'll include a link in the description.
That is good to know.
Yeah.
Well as all the stories you're about to tell us about.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So we've had tons of updates since Luann announced the news on Twitter. In addition to the name change, she's been posting inspirational messages on Instagram. One says, when God pushes you to the edge of difficulty, trust him fully, because two things can happen. Either he'll catch you when you fall, or he will teach you how to fly. Was kind of the day after she announced
nice
the divorce.
What a nice sentiment.
Yeah.
So, yeah. High hopes.
High hopes.
Lots of high hopes for Luann. I think she'll get back on her feet soon.
Yeah.
Enough.
We started kind of sad, but now I feel
good
I'm
for her.
Yeah. I'm happy for Luann.
She's living her life.
Yeah.
Happiness. Hashtag.
And what's the rule about when you break up with someone, it takes like half the amount of time to get over?
Oh, yes, yes.
From Sex and the City.
Yes, yes, yes.
So they were married for 8 months.
It's
she's
more
ahead of the curve.
It's like half the time plus 3 weeks or something stupid. Like, it's Charlotte's rule, I think.
So soon enough, this will all be behind her.
Right, by next season if she comes back. Right, if there's a next season. We don't know anything. We cannot speak.
And, you know, as we are supportive of Luann, everyone has been really supportive of Luann, even though her relationship was quite controversial,
mm-hmm,
as, you know, Roni fans know. But, you know, everyone from her cast, fellow cast members, to even celebrities like Julie Klausner on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen on Monday night.
Was she
her support?
Was she sincere in her support, or was it like a jokey?
She loves Luann.
Oh, okay.
She knows Luann was on Difficult People last season,
mm-hmm,
her
mm-hmm
show. So she's like her favorite housewife. So she did throw in an Eggs a la Française reference, though. I think she said like her head was scrambled, like Eggs a la Française, after
so
hearing the news of the divorce. So, you know, we're all taking it hard, but
we're all,
you know.
Here for Luann.
Here for Luann, exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
Behind Lou, yes.
And keeping our eyes peeled for a statement from Bethany, right?
Yes,
that's all
that's
I want.
Right.
I just didn't even think about that. Now I'm like, that's all I want in my life ever is Bethany to tweet anything about Luann.
Yeah. Well, she spoke right before Luann announced the news. You know, she touched on Luann and Tom's relationship, sort of, on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen.
Yeah, but she was like, it's sort of like they're married now.
Yeah, and she was like, oh, I'm not going to talk about it, you know, anymore. You know, they're married.
I really feel badly for her because she's been living this totally out loud, and I think, you know, it's personal. They got married, and I decided to stay out of it after that.
So now she can talk about it.
But
yeah, so now she can talk about it,
we'll
Bethany.
See. So now we'll see.
I watched your Instagram stories. Like, every day I see you sing constantly.
Right.
Sing a little tune about Luann.
And eat lunch meats.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's lots of chickens or just, like, wildlife in her Instagram
she
stories,
she has chickens
too.
In her Hamptons home.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
She has, like, a little farm going on there.
Basically, yeah.
Honestly, I don't even know if they're hers. Like, they're just roaming around in, like, this perfectly manicured lawn.
Right. So. Wild chickens of the Hamptons.
Right. Yeah. All right, what's up? Well, what's next?
So speaking of another couple who did get divorced and is now back together, NeNe Leakes and Greg Leakes.
Yes.
Some big news there, or NeNe is kind of shutting down some big reports that we've heard this week, that Greg had a stroke and there were some rumors out there that he had a stroke and then was rushed to the hospital. But NeNe took to Instagram to shut all of that down, basically. None of it was true. She said that Greg did get sick, and they were filming the upcoming season of Real Housewives of Atlanta, but he drove himself to the ER. She didn't specify what kind of illness or, you know, medical emergency it was or anything like that, so we still don't know what really happened. But she did give an update about a week prior to this news coming out to the Daily Dish that she and Greg is dealing with a little bit of a health issue right now.
Oh.
So that's kind of like what's going on in her life as she returns to the Real Housewives of Atlanta in the upcoming season. So not sure what that is still. Hasn't really elaborated on any of the health issues or whatever's going on with Greg. But she's optimistic and, you know, thinks he'll be fine after this.
Sure. So we'll find out
more this season.
More this season, if that's a thing that's happening. So she just said something about it like a week before, saying he had health issues, and then he was in the ER.
Yeah, and then
driven by himself.
Yes, yes. He drove himself to the ER.
That's crazy. I mean, how bad can you be if you're driving yourself? I mean, like, you're at least...
I've driven myself to the ER, and
it
was not serious, so...
Oh, what did you do?
I thought I was dying.
And so I drove myself to the ER.
And I was convinced something was wrong. It was, like, 4 in the morning. I called my parents and scared the hell out of them, and they were like, wake up your roommate right now. And I said, it's 4 in the morning, I feel too bad, but like at the same time was sure I was dying. So I went to the ER, had tests done, and they're like, you just had a panic attack.
Oh, but that's how they say that it feels.
Yeah.
I was like, please just tell me it was like indigestion.
Well, so yeah.
But you know it's possible.
Right.
And
right.
Yeah, proof. It doesn't have to be something, you know, it could be serious, might not be serious, we don't know. But
right. Well, sometimes you just got to get there, and you just,
Yeah, well, I hope Greg is okay.
Yeah.
We'll find out this season, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But there's more news, right?
Yes. Well, a big revelation, or revenelation, if you will.
Yes. Oh, I will, Laura. I will all day.
From Catherine C. Dennis this week, when she appeared on the podcast Be Here for a While with Rachel O'Brien, that she and Thomas Ravenel hooked up after the season 4 Southern Charm reunion.
I can't even, my brain is exile francais now.
I lost my shit when I read that. Especially because it was like the day before Rachel and I interviewed her. And she seemed so removed from that situation. Because, what the hell?
I just cannot believe that happened. But I love them to be together, as
you
know.
You do.
So, like, it made me really, really, really happy.
It's like you can't believe it, but you can also believe it.
Right, it's just like Luann's divorce announcement. It's like, shocking, but then like, no, not so shocking. And the only reason it surprised me this season that Catherine would hook up with Thomas is that reunion got deep, and like it seems like they were not getting along. So the fact that they were able to do anything together afterwards, let alone have intercourse, is crazy. Do we think she's pregnant?
Well, I don't even know where to go from there.
I know. Well, they clearly had chemistry at the reunion. They admitted it. Everyone acknowledged it. So even though, you know, things were tense at the reunion, I guess they got better after it ended.
Oh. For those who don't know, Rachel O'Brien is on Vanderpump Rules.
She is Kristen Doty's comedian friend.
Laura, thank you so much for stopping by. All of this was very useful information.
Yes. I've learned so much.
Well, a lot happens on The Daily Dish, so...
Good Laura. So you are constantly on the pulse of our Bravo Liberties lives. If you at home have anything you want Laura to cover on The Daily Dish, if you're interested in anyone, anything going on, please tweet us at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish, and we will dig into whatever you want.
Yes, we will.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is a first for our podcast. We are here with Shannon Bedour.
Yay.
Thank you so much for coming.
Oh, thanks for having me.
We're excited to talk all things OC.
Let's go.
So first I wanted to know what it was like to join as a new wife into this series.
Well, you know what? I was just talking about this today. I had a really fortunate experience because I started on season 9 and 3 of the housewives had left. So I was the only new person that started, and about a month and a half into filming, Lizzie and Danielle started. So I was only a newbie for like a month and a half. Mm. So it was really kind of cool because I didn't have to go through that inaugural year. I just had a month and a half. Yeah, it was good.
Did you have any idea what you were getting into?
No, I didn't. I mean, and I had no idea my husband was going to start an affair after my first day of filming. Literally, it started the day after our first day of filming. So that was like a bummer because, you know, it's not something I wanted to dive into. But it's all good that it's over. I did it now and it's all good. But no, I didn't know. I did not know what I was getting involved in. And each season I think, oh, it's going to be easy. And then, then you watch it and it's not. So
right. So what has been the most challenging part of being on the series and the best part of being on the series?
Well, I think the challenging aspect is how my marriage and family has played out on the show. There's just been a lot of tough issues for me to have to deal with and that I'm not excited about putting out on the show, but I know if I want to maintain my authenticity, I have to do. So I would say the marriage, I think I had a really hard time with the false criminal allegations. I know I had a hard time made about my husband last year. And I even had a tough time with the stuff that happened with my mother-in-law that was aired last year. You know, it's like, of course that's going to happen when the cameras are rolling, but that's just kind of how it goes for me. So, there's shocks and surprises every year. You know, I thought this year was going to be easy. I don't think it is going to be.
What has the best part been?
Well, I think the best part is that, well, number one, I get to have memories that are captured with my family. It's kind of documented for me. So that's really nice and fun to do. And, I don't know. I'm not really comfortable with I don't even want to use the word fame, but the fact that people know who I am now or that a few people do. It's just kind of uncomfortable for me. I still walk around town with no makeup on and people say, excuse me. And I'll think, oh my God, did I drop something? It's like, oh, that's right. I'm on a show. it's been a good experience.
No, that's good.
Good and bad, but the good outweighs the bad.
Have you had any funny fan interactions before? Do people like, I'm assuming you have fans that love you and then fans that think that they know you and they really don't, kind of a thing.
It's all good. Everyone's very kind. I think in my first season, I had one person say, you're a bitch to me. And I thought, oh, okay.
To your face?
Yeah. But I think she'd had a few cocktails. So I'll give her a pass. But otherwise, everyone's been very, very kind. And the thing that blows me away sometimes is some people will come up and they'll say really nice things. And I'm sure, maybe if any person in the cast was there, they would be their favorite too. Because people say that all the time, you're my favorite. But I'm sure
that, you know, everyone is their favorite, but they'll say, can we take a picture? And they're literally shaking like a leaf. And I just, aww. Oh, and then I squeeze their arm, or I'd be like, you know, it's okay. Because it's just, there's nothing, don't be nervous meeting me. I'm just, you know, I'm just a mess.
Well, I will say, I think of all of our housewives, you're one of the ones that does keep it real. Like, we see your whole life. You are very... You're showing us everything, and it's awesome to watch.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
yeah.
you.
You know, last season ended in such a crazy, tumultuous mm-hmm. way at the reunion. Mm-hmm. When you found out that Vicky was coming back this season, was there a part of you that's like, I don't know if I can do it again?
No, absolutely, because I made a statement last season, and I meant it, and that was, I'm done with you. And while I wish her well, and while I hope she's happy, and while I forgive her, I do not and will not have her in my life anymore. And That's how it has to be. If I want to maintain my authenticity, and I don't think there's many people out there in the world that would continue on with a friendship and have a close friendship with someone that made criminal false allegations about a family member. I just don't think they would. So, you know, I thought, how are we going to do this? Because I'm not going to be friends with her. Right. So it's a very interesting season, the way things are filmed, because there is a divide between the cast.
Another huge shakeup was that Heather isn't back.
Right.
What did you think of her departure?
Oh, I was very surprised that Heather Dubrow didn't come back. So, you know, it's been an adjustment. We have two new cast members, and let me just say, I wish Heather was back.
Mm-hmm. I know you're pals with Jeff Lewis.
I am.
He has a rift with Heather.
Right, and it happened at my vow renewal, actually.
What? I don't think I knew that.
Right. She was, he was upset because I guess the waiter brought a bread basket and she just lifted her hand up and put it behind her. And he thought that it was derogatory. And I think he talked about it somewhere, and then it started the feud.
Oh. Mm. So if you have to pick one, who is it?
That's a hard thing to say because, I mean, I'm friends with, I'm much closer friends with Jeff Lewis. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, okay.
We're very close.
Have you seen the house?
No. I have not seen the house.
What does that mean? What does that say? Because that's very surprising to fans.
Well, I mean, I said this on a Bravo TV thing that you guys actually have up on there right now. They asked all of us if we'd seen the house, and none of us have. And it's interesting because Tamara and I were invited to a Super Bowl party at her house, and we were told to save the date, et cetera, and then we never got the details. So we didn't make the cut.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
But I was invited to a Christmas party prior to that, then I was busy. So I did get an invitation.
Okay.
Okay. So it might be in your future then.
Maybe not now. I'm so sorry. That's mean to say. I know. I love Heather. She's great. And we had a great time together filming. And it would have been a lot of fun to have her this year. I could have used a little backup.
Mm. Well, since you're good friends with Jeff Lewis, any details you can give us about baby Monroe?
Okay, I haven't met her yet. Aww. And that's a beef. When I'm up in his neck of the woods, he's either not there or he's busy or he's out of town. So it's on the list, darn it. Now I've got some time, so I've got to meet her. Yeah. I mean, I get pictures all the time, so I feel like I know her.
Aww.
And Jenny's baby, too. I mean, it's like baby central over there.
Right. I know. Have you given him any advice with the baby, or has he asked?
I have given Jeff tons of advice to the point where it's almost driven him crazy because I have all these natural little cures, remedies, things for, you know, that he did. So, I mean, we've discussed it. Absolutely.
So I think this is a question for all the fans. Do you have 9 lemons in a bowl yet in your house?
I do. I do. Good. I do. Yes, I do. And, yes. And I'm actually opening up a restaurant, and you'll see that on the show this season. And it hasn't opened up yet, but my logo is 9 lemons because that's me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, oh my God. That's so cute.
Yeah, it's fun.
We saw that episode where you're like, well, I don't have it right now. I think we're like, what?
Yeah. I know. What's going on? Yeah, she wasn't very happy with me. But and that's maybe why some of the things have gone on this season because I didn't feng shui the house. I'm blaming it on myself again.
So speaking of your feng shui lady, we do a fun thing on the show called Sophie Stanbury's Choice.
It's Sophie Stanbury here. Get the tunes on because I'm ready to dance, bitch.
If you had to choose between Dr. Moon and the feng shui lady.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to tell you, at this point, I would pick the feng shui lady, and I'm going to tell you quickly why.
Okay.
When she tells me to implement a cure, it happens. When my husband left me for a 2-week period, I had her come down immediately. She told me to take a picture of David and write matrimony and my name on the back. A picture of me, write matrimony David, put the pictures facing each other and wrap a red ribbon or a red string around it 9 times, put it in a red envelope, put it under my pillow, dream for 9 nights about the intention I wanted, that I wanted David to come home. And on that 9th day, plant it in this area of your garden underneath a pink plant. So as I put the envelope underneath the plant and was patting the dirt down, David called and said, I'm coming home. No joke.
Oh my God, I just like got chills hearing the story.
Yeah,
that is
crazy. I mean, I'm telling you, Elaine, and she did amazing things for Vicky, which was really, really horrible to me that Vicky all of a sudden said, oh, you know, hocus pocus, whatever, because it's, I believe in good energy. It has nothing to do with religion or anything. But speaking of Vicky, I just want to say one thing to set the record straight. I do not blame Vicky for my weight gain. What I have said over and over again is that the stress caused by her false allegation is something that started the ball rolling for me. I am responsible for putting the food in my mouth. But for a 5-month period, I didn't know if her allegation was going to be seen, if people would believe it, if my family would be hurt, if my husband's business would be damaged. And because of that, I started eating and drinking whatever I wanted.
I mean, I think that's so, like, the way you worded it on the show, like, I got it. You know, it's just crazy how people took that so literally, what you were saying.
Oh, well, no, well, that's the problem. And she sure is run with it, trying to make me look like I'm blaming and pointing the finger. Of course I'm not. I'm the one responsible for it. But the stress caused by her is a really stressful 5-month period of me not knowing if there were going to be any fallout. And to be honest with you, my family has been through the ringer by being on the show. And it's my kids, too. That's who I think about all the time. It's my job to protect them. And for them to be hurt by, you know, false allegations, I got to add that to my list now, defend a bunch of nonsense. So,
well, I don't know how you're feeling in this moment, but you look great.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. I've lost 15 pounds, 25 to go. And, but yeah, it's I'm getting back on the path. I've always been a clean eater, and that's why I just kind of fell off the wagon, and I drank a lot more than I normally do. I'm not a big drinker, so I'm just back to that.
I think we want to talk about that Quiet Woman dinner.
Yeah,
just what you think looking back on it.
Well, I'm humiliated, and I mean, I take responsibility. I think in this current episode, it's said that I don't take responsibility and I don't own up to things. I do all the time. I admit that I'm wrong all the time, and I overreacted. I clearly did, but I was so surprised to see Kelly there because I never see her anywhere, and I never see her. I go to that place all the time. It's where I met my husband, and we have a history there, and longer than her history, but I know it's her. Oh, it's my jam, she says. Well, it's been mine longer. Anyways, but, you know, it was just a shock to see her there, and the fact that it was a dinner that Tamara and I invited Lydia to, and we find out later that she invited someone who she knew wasn't getting along with us, that's crazy to me. Lydia's a pot stirrer. And Kelly knew we were going to be there, and she knew that she was going to cause drama, and I felt quite ambushed, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, we certainly don't take sides here at Bravo, but I also don't know that I think that it was an over-exaggeration on your part, because you had shared something very vulnerable in that bathroom.
Well, because I was panicked. You have to understand, she walked in, and I'm like, shoot, what am I going to talk about? And I'd had a few cocktails, because that was my last hurrah, let's remember. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, what do I say? And I just been talking about my weight. And I regret that I did that, because then you hear me go, my weight, but it's my weight. Like, oh, I said it over and over again. But it's embarrassing. But I did let her in, because I couldn't think of anything else to say. So that was mean to say eat up, and then to say, oh, but I enjoy pushing Shannon's buttons. I never enjoy upsetting people. It's just not kind. It's not nice. And I know I do upset people, and I'm sorry. I'll say it again. I'm sorry if I do, because I do beat myself up afterwards when I do upset people.
Mm. Is that hard being on the show, watching things you've said back before?
I got to tell you, even when I do my interview commentaries and they ask me a question, I'm tapping my knee. And I had a new interview this year. It goes, what's going on with your knee? And the cameraman, like, she does that. Because every time I say something, I'm like, why did I say that? Because I just say what comes out of my mind.
Right.
Because you know that everyone's going to analyze that one sentence that you said.
Yeah.
By word, the tone, whatever. But I just blurt it out.
Well, thank you so much. Like I said, we wish we could keep you here longer, but you've got to go.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Shannon Bedore.
Yeah. Did you know that you spoke in the third person before?
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
That was my first season. I did it a lot, but then I
toned him back.
I get in the office every once in a while. I'm just like, Shannon Bedore.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I don't think I do. I just think I do in the interviews.
Right.
Because in life, I don't really talk about myself much.
Right.
So.
I'm sure you're asked to explain things. And you're like, well, I'm Shannon Bedore.
Shannon Bedore.
Shannon Bedore. She was tickled pink that we did that.
I know. I feel like, not that she wasn't lovely because she was super fun, but like I didn't expect her to be that fun. And then after that, I was just like, oh!
I think it's like hard for us because, I'm speaking for myself, but sometimes it's like you never know how much you should reveal of your fandom because you don't know if it's going to like creep them out or if they're going to be accepting. And so when I did that, not knowing how she would react, and she was like,
into it.
Yeah, she's into it.
I loved how, like, serious her face got in it.
Yeah.
Those of you who don't know what we're referring to, you can check out my Twitter. You can check out Megan's Twitter and
our Instagrams.
We did a really fun video with Shannon where we said her name, as she does often.
Shannon Bedore.
But speaking of Shannon Bedore,
let's jump into OC.
Yes. Oh, we don't have to talk about this, but I just thought the parrot was like, I don't think it sounded like old at all, but I love that that's what Tamara heard.
Yeah, what do you think the parrot was saying?
A parrot noise?
Just like, squawk!
Yeah, I don't think it was necessarily saying anything, but I just think it's maybe a little telling.
It's kind of cute that there's like just a parrot that lives up there at that restaurant.
You, of course, would be super excited that there's a parrot.
I was like, he chooses to stay.
Do you think he just chooses?
I mean, I'm sure his wings are clipped,
Sorry. I didn't even think of that. I just thought maybe.
But sometimes in New York, you see signs that are like, missing my parrot. Like, I've seen a few of those in New York, which I think is hilarious.
Well, fun fact about my neighborhood, there is a parrot, I think it's a parrot, that lives on the corner at the laundromat, and it has mimicked the sound of a baby crying. It's horrible. It's like you think a baby is dying, but it's just this bird. It's like an awful way to start like a Monday morning walking by this like screaming bird baby. Anyway, New York.
I have another bird. I don't have to share.
Apparently, we have a lot of thoughts about just this bird on OC. Nothing else happened but this parrot. Just stop 2 minutes into the episode. What is your bird? You could tell me after if you don't want to share.
Okay, let's continue.
If you guys want to know, tweet Megan about her bird story.
I'm at Megziger. What really made me laugh in this episode is when Megan, who I feel like just is so blunt sometimes, is talking about the whole feud between Shannon and Vicky, and she's having lunch with Shannon, and Shannon's like, well, you know, this whole weight thing. And Megan goes, what weight thing? Which is like, Megan, come on. Like,
right.
You haven't seen her in a while. I'm sure you've noticed. And she was like, oh, well, I've gained 40 pounds. And, you know, it's because of the stress of Vicky. And Megan goes,
what Vicky did was bad, but not 40 pounds bad. Clearly, there's something else going on with Shannon, like maybe her marriage.
I know. When she said that, I was like, Megan, that's like not the thing to say. Like,
right.
But also she called her out on the fact that she doesn't think it's her weight, but that it's her marriage, Megan said in her interview.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think that's the first time anyone's really said that on the show.
Right,
I think there's been a lot of talk on the Twitter.
Yeah, the Twitterverse.
The Twitterverse. I just wanted to say, if you had any questions about the birds and the bees, this was the episode to watch.
Right.
Because not only do we have Lydia telling her child about what a sexy lady is. You have Vicky warning Michael about sperm reaching the egg and being on birth control.
There could be a sneaker that finds his way to an egg. Yeah, that was my favorite.
A sneaker. I'm just doing like a shoe.
What did you think of Lydia's Birds and the Bees conversation?
I was like, the whole time.
I just really appreciated, like, the kid being so, that he just kept pushing, like, no, but what is it? You don't know what it is, Mom? What is it? Like, he needed graphics. He needed,
right.
Like,
he needed a deck, a PowerPoint.
Right. But they were really glossing over it.
Right.
It's private time.
I wrote down, sex is not like going to the bathroom. I don't know why we're making this, like, illusion of these two things being put together. Like,
right.
Like, no, don't tell him that. He's going to get really confused.
Right.
I
do have an anecdote about virgins.
Is it for the podcast or is it for later?
We'll see. So, my friend was telling me, you know, I grew up in Texas, went to a church, I grew up in a God-fearing home. I think it's great, anyone who waits until marriage. But I will say a story that kind of gave the other point of view to maybe why you shouldn't wait is my friend was telling me that she had just gone to a wedding of two close church friends, and it was like after their honeymoon, and she goes, oh my God, so you guys finally had sex. How was it? And the girl goes, it'll get better.
But it will. No? Do you think, this is a great question, do you think that you can build that, or do you think that there's like an innate, works or it doesn't?
I think it works or it doesn't.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
We don't have to.
Are we not going to use any of this, Grace?
I like it.
Okay.
My mom might be upset, but.
That ship has sailed. Who knows what I've said on this podcast? I'm like, yeah, Mom, listen. Anyway, I like cheese more than.
Can we keep this in, too?
Anyway, I'm really red, everyone. Just so I can feel it. I'm like fanning myself with the papers. So I think we need to talk about, of course, the lip grab.
Oh, it's like clip, but without words.
Right. I think that what happened was Peggy was trying to make a joke that just didn't land because everyone is on like 10 about all the drama still from last year.
Peggy has tried to make a couple of jokes now that did not land well.
Right. This is true. Comedic timing might not be Peggy's strong suit.
Also, I would not want to go to a party where it was to unveil a yellow car.
I thought it was an odd color choice because now that I live in New York, yellow is always a cab.
Oh.
Like, it always just looks like a cab to me, even if it's this, like, fancy Lamborghini.
But, yeah, if there's one person you shouldn't tell to close her mouth, it's Megan.
Oh, I know. She did not take it well. Like, it could have been a moment to be like, ha, 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 but it did not happen that way. But I got what Peggy was saying. Like, I kind of love that Peggy's there to be like, okay, there's all this drama that I wasn't involved in. You're all grown women. Just move past it or either try to resolve it or stop talking about it. But, like, just talking about it isn't going to do anything. Clearly, Vicky was over it. The conversation needed to end. If she needed to touch her face, I don't know, when
right.
You just met someone. But, yeah, I'm wondering if this is going to be the beginning of something between Peggy and Megan. Like, do we think this is going to start a feud?
Probably.
Yeah. But we also talked to Megan King Edmonds this week, and we heard all about that mouth squeeze from her. We are here with Megan King Edmonds.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being coming. Here. Yeah. We're so sad you didn't bring baby Aspen.
Oh, yeah. Well, my mom just texted me. She's just went down for a nap. I never know what her schedule is, especially with traveling. It's hard on her. She gets tired.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was going to be your first question. Can we hold baby Aspen? We'll pretend.
Well, you could. Yeah. She's here, but she's not.
Speaking of which, so we just interviewed Kelly Dodd, mm-hmm. and she told us a little thing about the Iceland trip and said that it involves baby Aspen.
Yeah, Aspen goes on the Iceland trip.
How was that?
It was good. You know, I tried to keep Aspen kind of like on the outskirts because it's a girl's trip, and I didn't want like a baby to, you know, totally be a buzzkill, but I was breastfeeding at the time, so she had to come. So it was good. It worked out really well.
It's a first in Housewives history.
Is that right?
I think so.
To have a baby.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah.
Was it her first trip abroad?
It was, yes, it was. So she had her little passport, everything. It was so cute.
So in this week's episode, we see Peggy literally shut your mouth.
Yes.
Now, the look on your face said something like, I'm trying to decide if I should hit this person or not.
I didn't know what was going on. I literally thought she was trying to fix my lip gloss. And then, and then to like, I realized she wasn't. And I was just confused, like, because who does that? We literally met that night. It was just weird.
It's personal boundaries and space issues.
Don't touch me.
Don't touch me.
It's one thing to shake my hand, but like my lips? What? Yeah.
Do you think she was trying to be funny or something? And she just like didn't...
I think maybe she was trying to be funny. I don't know. I don't understand her. I don't. Like to like that. Of course, I didn't understand her at the time. I'm not even kidding. I met her in person at that Lamborghini party. And that's when she did that to my lips. So, of course, I didn't know her then. And so I was thinking, oh, this is nice. I don't even know this woman. She's fixing my lip gloss. No, I don't even know this woman. She's telling me to shut up. So I, the thing is, I never got to know her. Like, I just don't, I don't know her. I don't know what she's about. I don't get her. She's weird.
That kind of makes sense to me because you, you know, came onto the scene and you were very much invested in what was happening and figuring things out. And I've already heard her say a few times this season, like, you guys should get over it. This is all petty drama.
Yeah.
Do you think she knew what she was getting into?
Who knows? I don't know. I swear. Like, I can't figure Peggy out. So, but I don't know. Why would you try to involve, just insert yourself into relationships that have a deep-seated history? By the way, if she knew that there was a deep-seated history, why would she do that? If she doesn't know if there's a deep-seated history, then why would she do that? Like, it just doesn't make any sense, no matter how you look at it.
Right. I wanted to ask you, because you tweeted this a couple weeks ago during the episode, and you said, it's a little hard for me to be sympathetic towards Peggy, considering I've watched my mom go through exactly what she's going through. Is it painful? Yes, but there's no invasive cancer, and that's a gift.
Because my mom went through the same surgery that Peggy had. And so what I was trying to say is that, like, my mom didn't have cancer and Peggy didn't have invasive cancer. And so it was like, but like, and they had this surgery and it sucks. Like, it's really a big deal. And like, I watched my mom go through it. I know how much it sucks. Also, I've seen three of my aunts go through the surgery with cancer. So, like, with, you know, chemo and the radiation after it. And so, like, I can imagine how much more that would suck with when you have, invasive cancer. Right. And so I was trying to say that, but I think it came across really insensitive. And, like I was, like, trying to be like, look, like, I get it. Like, but, like, can you imagine if, you know, somebody else, like, it's this bad? Can you imagine adding, like, real, you know, invasive cancer to it? But I think it came across as, like, you're whiny or something. I think it like I was trying to accuse her of something. And honestly, like, I don't even really look at Twitter, and like, I just like tweet stuff and then I like stop. And my mom texts me and she was like, that tweet is it's not nice. And I was like, but mom, this is what I meant. And she's like, well, that's not how it came across. And I was like, oh, like, my mom of all people, right? Like, isn't that kind of ironic? Yeah. And so I deleted the tweet and I texted Peggy and I was like, I just want you to know, like, I don't think it came across this way, because I saw all the backlash on Twitter and I was like, oh, shit. And so I texted Peggy and I was like, well, this is what I meant, like, what I just told you guys. And I just want you to know, like, I support you. And I didn't hear from her, so I guess she's mad at me. I mean, like, I made a mistake, right? Like, I did.
Oh, no, totally.
But it's just funny because I literally, like, my mom went through the same thing. Like, I'm on her side. Clearly, I had trouble with words that day.
Yeah, you only get 140 characters, so.
Well, it's gone now. I didn't want to be offensive. Like, I don't want to go there. Like, it's just about, like, I'm just saying it would suck even more if you did have cancer.
Right. No, it makes sense.
But it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. It sucks anyways. Right. My mom did it. I literally saw the whole thing happen.
Yeah.
With my mom.
Makes sense.
Well, Peggy's new this year. I want to talk a little bit about you coming onto the show. Like, did you have any idea what you were getting into? Had you watched the show before when you came on your first season?
Yeah, I watched it, like, here and there. And before I started, I started season 10 and I bought season 9 on Hulu and I started to watch it. So, okay. Like, I would get a better idea.
Okay. Did you have any idea of who you think you might click with or who?
I thought I would click with Vicky.
Really?
Yeah, you know why? Because I knew that Vicky's boyfriend had cancer, and I was also going through a cancer situation with Leanne, with Jimmy's ex-wife. And I thought that, like, we could, like, help each other and talk about our experiences and commiserate. And instead, I was confronted with a very defensive woman who really wanted nothing to do with me, and I was shocked. And that's really what led me into, like, looking more into this. Mm. Because it was like, that's not what you do. Like, people who are dealing with cancer, they connect, and they, like, help each other. And instead, she pushed me away, and I was like, what? This doesn't make sense.
Right. That was maybe, like, the first time.
Yeah, it was the first day I met her. Mm. And she was like, I want nothing to do with you. And I'm like, whoa, this doesn't make sense.
So had she been a little nicer, we may never have found any of this stuff out.
We would have, because she couldn't talk about it. It didn't exist.
Right. Right, I do feel like sometimes you get the blame. She can blame you for, like, bringing it all up or researching, but you think it would have come out anyway.
Okay, when somebody has cancer and you're like, and like Leanne had cancer, and I see, you know, I sit there with her at chemo, real chemo, not fake chemo, and I don't lie about it like I actually did, and then I'm like, oh well, okay, so like. And when you sat there through his chemo, like, how often did the nurse come in and check? Because, like, I felt like our nurse didn't come in enough. You know, like, stuff like that just comes up. And you just, like, chat. It's just like, oh, like, you got your nails done. Like, I get my nails done. Like, it's just something you talk about. Mm-hmm. And you don't get defensive about. So if you can't answer some simple questions like that and you start getting mad at somebody for those aren't invasive questions. Right. Those are just like, that's like breaking the ice question.
Right, right. Just commiserating over like a shared experience.
Yeah. And so when that didn't happen, I'm like, oh my God, like this is so freaking weird. And then Tamara told me, like, she was like, yeah, things don't really add up. And I'm like, well, if they don't add up, that is so messed up. And I don't like that. And so then I started asking more questions and it's just like things were adding up. What, like, and then I'm like, this dude's not getting away with it.
Between last season and this season, you went through the biggest life change a person can by becoming a mom. Mm-hmm. At any point, were you hesitant to come back this season?
Yeah, when I was pregnant, I didn't think I wanted to come back. And then after I had the baby, I was like, I felt like totally cooped up. And I just was like, get me out of here. Like, give me my social life back. And I like being on The Housewives. And I like my friends. I love Tamara and Shannon. We're really close. And so I just wanted to be, like, back in the mix. So, yeah, I'm not cut out to be a stay-at-home mom. Mm.
What did your husband think? Was he excited for you to come back again, or?
Jimmy is so supportive of me, and he actually was, like, he pushed me to go back. He's like,
oh, really?
I think that, like, this is good for you. You like it, and I'm going to support you. And it's hard for me to, like, be away from him when he's traveling so much. And same with him. And he's like, no, like, we're going to make it work. So he's a good teammate.
That's nice.
In our marriage, you know, like, we're a team. It's not like one of us calls the shots.
Well, on the show, he seems like number one amazing dad. Is it just as good as we're seeing on the show?
Yeah, it is. He's amazing. I mean, I knew he's a good dad. Yeah, he has four children and then, you know, without me. And so I knew he was going to be a great dad, but it's just cool seeing it in action with our baby.
I loved the moment this week when he was talking to the other husbands and he was just like, she's such a trooper.
I know. That was so cool to see.
Yeah. I know you must not get to hear that when you're not there.
Obviously. Right. I wasn't there. I was like off doing something else. So that was cool to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are responsible for bringing us Kelly Dodd, and for that, we thank you.
You do?
Had you experienced her crazy side before the show?
No. 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 It's mean. It's like not even just crazy. Like crazy is funny and entertaining, and I can deal with crazy. Like people call Shannon crazy. I love Shannon. I can deal with that. If you want to call Shannon crazy, fine, great. Shannon is not mean. Not she is not mean at all. Like she's entertaining. She's fun. She's not mean. I can't handle mean, and I cannot handle malicious. Shannon has never been mean or malicious. And Kelly is always mean and malicious when she gets her crazy on. If she gets funny crazy on, fine. But like mean and malicious, it makes me cringe. And I don't like that. So it's hard for me.
Well, speaking of mean, I was shocked when we saw the text that she sent you about Jim. And I was like, how is she? I feel like you moved on. I was like, that's amazing that you were able to do that.
You know, it's unfortunately I expect it from Kelly. Mm-hmm. She just is mean, and if she feels like she's been hurt or wronged, she's going to go back after you in whatever the most hurtful way she can find. And I would say that probably one of the most hurtful things that you can find to try to hurt somebody back is when they're, you know, about to pop with 7 months pregnant, like I was, text me that my husband has a mistress that's been confirmed, like, through this person, you know, like... And then when I'm like, no, actually, he doesn't have a mistress, like, the person you're talking about, like, is a person I know personally, and they dated between my husband, like, before he was even, like, when he was separated from his ex-wife, like, a long time ago, like, before he even, like, dated some other people, this person and him dated. So I'm like, all right, like, the story is wrong, but here, so I corrected it. She goes, well, no, you're wrong. Like, she kept on. So she really was trying to hurt me. And the problem is that, thank God, we're in a good place in our marriage, and I trust my husband, because that could have really destroyed me. Because of her intent, I can't see her the same way. Like, but I expect it from her. So, like, in a lot of ways, I see Kelly as kind of like a little kid, you know? She just, like, fires back, and except, like, she's smarter than a kid, so she can... She's more pointed with her maliciousness, but like, I can see what she's trying to do. So I'm like, okay, that's Kelly, but like, you kind of suck right now. But like, I know that's how you are. It's like kind of sad that you have to say that about a friend, and it's sad that she does it.
Based on what you're saying, it sounds like you guys might get into it later this season, or is it just based on what?
Yeah,
you witness?
No, yeah, it's not over yet. It's not over yet, but like. The way that Kelly deals with any kind of animosity directed to her, or criticism, I should say, even just constructive criticism, is not a normal adult reaction. And it's something is not, it's off with her to react in the way that she reacts. So, like, I see it almost from, like, a peripheral, you know, setting, because I remove myself because it's just not normal.
Well, we talked about Jim a little bit. I feel like he's been a kind of polarizing person for fans.
I know, right?
So he must, you know, he has his own fame, obviously, from the baseball. Does he get people recognize him from the show now?
Yeah, or? He does.
How does he deal with being so polarizing?
He's like, he gets upset. Jimmy's very emotional, and he's a sensitive dude. Like, no one would guess that. And so he doesn't like it. He doesn't like that, you know, people think that he might not be a good husband or something, or that he's grumpy, which he is. But, like, he doesn't like that people think that. He says he doesn't care, but he does. And so it, like, makes me sad for him. But so I'm like, just don't watch. But then he likes being, like... He likes when I get recognized from the Housewives. He's, like, proud of me or something. Aww. It's cute. I mean, he's a great guy. Aww. Believe it or not, he really is.
Oh, we definitely
like,
believe
we actually
it.
Are in love. Yeah. Like, we actually do a really nice marriage. Like, does he piss me off? Yes. Do I want to, like, kick him in the butt sometimes? Yes. But, like, I think that overall, we're pretty damn in love.
Aww. Sweet.
Yeah.
We just love seeing him with the baby, too.
Yeah,
too.
He's like, so cute with it's so her. Cute. Yeah.
Thank you, Megan. It was great to have a fellow Megan in the room with an H.
A
H. Who says H? British people? Yes. So yeah, but moving on, there's another Housewives on this week.
Real Housewives of New York, the finale.
Oh, why does it have to end?
But as I wrote, it reminded me of this T.S. Eliot quote. This is the way the world ends, not with a whimper, but with a bang. Because this episode did not go out quietly.
That's hilarious. No, it did not. Oh, I loved that Carol talked about champagne problems are real problems, too. I never heard of, like, rich people problems be called champagne problems, and I'm going to use it all the time now. So thank you, Carol.
I'm going to sell my current apartment and hopefully start renovating my new apartment. It's a big project. It's a problem. I'm having an anxiety attack. I feel like this.
Champagne problems cause stress just like any other problem. I get it.
Oh.
Yeah. Had you heard that before?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'd never heard that before.
But, yeah.
Anyway, I just thought it was interesting.
Maybe that's the name of the episode.
Champagne is it?
Problems. Champagne problems.
Is it the name of the episode?
No, this episode.
Oh. Sorry.
So, Bethany, with that hockey player, do we think?
I was, like, doing something while I was watching the episode, and it took me... I had to, like, go back and be like, wait, is she dating this guy? Because I thought he was, like, her assistant for half of it.
I know.
Right?
But like, they were dating.
Right, as we learned that they're not anymore. She said goodbye to the hockey player.
Right.
But it just felt like a very, like, he was there as a prop, almost.
I know, I agree. There was nothing between them.
Right.
Even when she grabbed his hiney, it was kind of like your mom's friend grabbing you or something.
We have two interns in the room, and they are scarred for life now.
I meant like your cheeks on your face, but...
Oh, the other cheeks. Yeah, but her new apartment looks amazing. It's so big.
It is disgustingly big.
It's like as big as like our office.
Like, the bathroom alone was as big as this.
Yeah, yeah. The room we're in, which none of you can see, but it's big.
It's huge.
It was a crazy big apartment.
Right. And only $4.2 million, which is a steal, according to Bethany.
I mean, I think that is a steal.
Yeah.
What do you think of this party? Is it a fuck you party or is it a thank you party?
I think it's a thank you party.
Okay, that's good.
But I do think when you're giving gifts, you're supposed to think of the person you're giving it to, not what you would want to receive. And the whole party was very Tinsley. Like, yes. Done in pink. The drinks, like, were something she would enjoy. That part I was kind of like, eh.
Right.
It should have been, like, sex-themed for Sonia.
Sonia in the City.
Exactly. She would have loved that.
Right, right. She would have. I thought the cake was nice.
Oh, it was very beautiful.
I really hope that Sonia and Edgar make it.
They're still together.
I know. I think they're really cute together.
So, should we talk about the mic situation?
Yes.
Okay, I mean... First of all, burying the lead, but we've already talked about it in a bonus episode. You should go back and listen, but Luann has announced that she's getting a divorce. So this episode is especially crazy to watch, knowing that they're not together.
Right. I watched it after learning this terrible news, and it just colored it so differently, because I truly was like, I think Luann is in love. I think that... it might not be perfect, but, like, she really wants to be in it for the long haul. Like, and I guess I wanted him to be the man she wanted him to be.
Totally.
And it just makes me sad.
Right. But, yeah, another hot mic moment where, you know, he's talking to Missy again. Like, if this is a girl you've gotten in trouble with in the past, stop talking to her.
Oh, I know. I know. It's like... You know this is, and also it's the last party of the season. You're not filming anymore. You couldn't wait like one party to not talk to her.
And he even says to her, oh, I just get choked up when I see you. And she goes, I feel the same way.
What would you like?
I'm good.
You sure?
What's wrong with you? Are you sick?
No, I'm fine. I get all choked up when I see you.
I hope so. Same thing.
I can't say that.
Feeling is mutual.
It's just, like, hearing it is so awful.
I know.
Why did he even propose?
That's my big question.
Like, why did it even happen?
I mean, I will say the way she talks about it in this episode is that, like, they're still in their honeymoon phase because really they've just started dating.
Right. She's like, I've only known him for a year and a half.
And I do think that, like, before you've... When you're just starting to date someone, before you've moved in, before you've started that everyday stuff, it is very exciting. And, like, you think, oh, we're going to be together the rest of our lives. And then, like, reality sets in and you're like, oh, you really annoy me. Or,
I don't like that you get choked up when you see another woman.
Right.
Ugh. Lou. I love her so much.
Like, she's resilient, though. She will bounce back.
She will. And as my manager reminded me today, we are now in the era of single Luann again.
Yes.
Which is the best Luann. It's the don't be so
uncool.
Yeah.
So be cool. Don't be all, like, uncool. Why?
Okay. And then just to, like, go back to, like, the weird moment of this episode is John presenting Dorinda with a dress. And you're like, wait, he brought Beyonce's dress? Whoa.
What's that?
This is the beautiful gown that you adored in my windows that belongs to...
Don't say it.
Beyonce.
No.
I was like, Beyonce gets her clothes dry cleaned at Madame Paulette? What?
Like, I was so excited, like, by this news. Saying to Dorinda, you know the dress, the one that Beyonce wore? I got you the replica.
Right, right. And you're like,
that's slightly less exciting.
Like, this is an exact replica.
Right. It's, if it was Beyonce's dress. It reminded me of something that she wears in Lemonade. Like, in the house or something?
Yeah.
It must have been from that, right?
Oh, maybe.
That's what it reminded me of. If you guys know the dress, please find it for us and tweet us using the hashtag BravoDailyDish. What did you think of the moment between Ramona and Bethany where she was like, I just don't think it's for me. It's not going to happen again.
Well, we know that Ramona's in a relationship now.
Did we? I didn't know this.
She gave a quote to the Daily Dish, said that, like, he brings out the calm side in her.
Well, that's good. Oh, that makes me happy.
Yeah.
Well, I hope he's good to her. Because Ramona deserves it. But yeah, it's not over because there is a whole reunion. Head to BravoTV.com and you can check out our Road to Reunion page with so much behind the scenes stuff that Megan herself got.
Yes, I worked all day to get it right just for you.
What was your favorite thing that they can check out?
Oh, I mean, just because, as I told you, I got butterflies during the interview, Andy telling me about his suit, which it doesn't seem that interesting because, like, really, who cares about men's clothes? But that it was, like, the same exact one as Craig Conover from Southern Charm.
You know, I'm wearing this suit on the New York reunion. If it looks familiar, and it might, Craig was wearing this suit at the Southern Charm reunion. I've never seen a blue-on-blue seersucker suit. I thought it was so cool. And Craig is so handsome and dreamy that I was like, could I look handsome and dreamy in that suit if I got that suit?
But not the exact suit.
It's not the exact suit. Craig is taller and way leaner than Daddy. I'm a little more short and stout, stocky.
Right. That's, I don't know, so interesting. Just, please go watch the video because I want you to see the way he's looking at me. There's something there.
Sorry, Aaron. Yeah. Speaking of men in suits,
Million Dollar Listing New York also finaled this week. And in honor of that, we wanted to play you a very special interview we had with Steve Gold. But sadly, we are just running out of time this week. But it was crazy how much Steve was in love with Rachel. And I think I just needed other witnesses to see how, like, we both introduced ourselves and he looked at and just talked to Rachel the whole time. It was the most awkward thing ever, and I felt like I was sitting in on someone's, like, love at first sight moment.
I'm still very embarrassed by the whole thing.
Here it is.
Hey everyone, I'm Rachel.
And I'm Megan.
And we are sitting here with new MDL agent, Steve Gold.
Hello. Yes. Hi, Rachel.
Hi. So you're new to MDL. Had you ever watched the show before? Did you know what you're getting into?
Yeah, I mean, I was a big fan of the show. I kind of knew what I was getting into, but you never really know what you're getting into until you're actually doing it. I think that's with a lot of things in life. But, I kind of had some ideas of what to expect, but, you know, the journey that we took and, you know, and we filmed for like 9 months, you know, and it's a lot of time and effort and coordination that goes involved into this. And, you know, it was an exciting journey. And I think the season's going to be incredible.
Do you think Ryan got the beard because you have a beard?
Funny you ask that. I mean, you know, I have been known to start some trends. I don't know. I mean, it's a strange coincidence, don't you think, Rachel?
I mean, yeah.
I mean, he hasn't been clean shaven for a long time. Then he finds out I'm coming on and
all of a sudden
grows a beard. And I mean, I don't know.
What other trends have you started?
No, just like, I mean, I guarantee next season, well, unless he listens to this, but if he doesn't listen to this, he'll be wearing a t-shirt next season, like, instead of a, he will at least have less tie outfits. I guarantee that.
So no ties.
But if he listens to this, then he won't. So like, we'll block him from this podcast and then watch this happen.
So we know you are a model. Does that help in your negotiations?
In my negotiations, no, I don't know if that helps in my negotiations. No, I think modeling has helped me in real estate. However, I mean, first of all, you know, when I was young, I started modeling when I was 17, when I was still in high school. And, you know, my first job, the day I graduated from high school, I got on a plane and went to Paris. So, like, from a really young age, I was traveling, and I was in front of Marc Jacobs and doing a Louis Vuitton show. And, like, I was with Marc for two weeks straight, you know, doing the looks for the show, which is, like, basically deciding all the outfits for it. At that time, I had no clue who Marc Jacobs was. He was sitting in front of me, and I think it was probably, like, till 2 years later. I'm like, oh my God, like that guy with the glasses, and that was before he got all pumped and, you know, that transition, like, right. Is this like major fashion designer? Cause I was an athlete in high school and kind of like a little bit of a nerd too. So like, I mean, I was just, it's all about school and athletics. So like, I, you know, design and fashion and that stuff like wasn't kind of my thing. But so I kind of developed this basic Rolodex, like, of people around the world when I met and traveling. And, you know, that's kind of what helps you get a foot in this business is who you know and, like, who, you know, who you're going to sell these properties to. So a lot of the things, like, in hindsight that, I mean, I always didn't like modeling. In hindsight, I now see, like, actually helped me succeed in this business.
I like how you self-edited that question. The question we got was, does being so good looking help with the negotiations?
I think my knowledge kind of helps in the negotiations. I don't think my looks kind of have any factor in that.
So it's not like wink and then you get it. That's not how it works.
No, because I'm negotiating. Yeah,
no,
like,
it's hard. Come on, guys.
I mean, maybe it helps a little bit, like, you know, in showings and, you know, like just being nice. I mean, really, and gregarious and, you know, and pleasant to be around. That doesn't hurt anyone, really. But in negotiations, I mean, we're dealing with broker to broker. We're on the phone. We're on the email, text, whatever. I mean, however we do it, sometimes face to face. And, I mean, they don't care if I'm cute or not. They want to get the best deal for their client, and I want to do the same for mine.
Right.
We'll be playing that full interview. You can hear me blushing and overwhelmed through the microphone the whole time.
And me sulking in a corner.
I still am, like, tickled. Also, I didn't have my glasses on, which is one of the biggest regrets of my life. So I couldn't see the way he was looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
So great, now that that's settled, we can move on to Shaw's. Let's talk about this episode in Israel.
Not a good start for them.
Not a good start.
Have you ever been detained?
No, I haven't been.
Me neither.
Great story. I love that Mike, like, wanted Asa to get detained.
Right.
It's like, Mike, I'm cracking up that you thought I should have been interrogated.
I get it, but you were born in Iran as well, so what caused them to trigger me and not you?
I have charm and I have an angel face.
That's what it is.
Not the best solution to your detaining problem.
You know how you always say, like, vacation really shows you, like, who someone else is? I feel like being detained would really show you.
Oh, because totally.
It's, like, your patience level, I feel like, would just be all over the place.
Oh, my God, and your stress level.
Yeah.
But before they get detained and go to the airport, I wanted to talk about Reza wanting to adopt.
It was so sweet.
There is a large portion of Yes, of teenagers that need to find adoptive families.
That's the reason why I don't want to go through surrogacy. There's all these kids that need homes, like... We're gonna go through all this trouble because you wanna have a biological child. The kid is gonna love you just as much. It might even end up looking like you too.
It was so sweet and so touching, and I just was like, that's amazing. And I also really enjoyed that they talked about the cost of surrogacy.
Yeah.
And they talked about the cost of IVF.
How much does the final kid cost?
The entire process of egg donor surrogacy medical costs is somewhere between the low end, I'd say about $120,000, and the high end, $160,000.
I can get, you know, some whack eggs and do it for $120,000, but we need eggs from a Harvard bitch or a Yale bitch. Like, I want some pay me back my 200 grand babies.
Because, you know, you see it a lot on reality TV, you see it, you hear it a lot in the news, you hear it's just, like, around, but it's not like the everyday person can just do this.
Right.
Like, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, he talked about it at lunch, too, and he said that what Adam wants to do, which I thought was really interesting, but I guess other people have done it, so they would get eggs donated. Adam would inseminate one of the eggs. Reza would inseminate the other egg. They'd put them in a surrogate at the same time.
And then
so their babies would be twins, but also half siblings.
Because it's the same surrogate. I think that's what Neil Patrick...
Same egg donor.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's what Neil Patrick Harris
did. Yes, 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 yes. That's someone said that at the lunch. But
yeah.
How interesting.
I think Neil Patrick Harris, they put like it all in a bowl and they were just like... Whatever happens, happens. So I don't think they know whose is whose or, like, what the deal is.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyway.
So I guess we'll see what they actually decide to do.
I know. I hope they adopt just because Reza's reaction was just so sweet.
Right.
And it was such a beautiful moment.
Maybe they'll do a little of both.
Both. Yeah, yeah. That's what I think will happen. Oh, my God. So they go out in Israel, and they bring these people back from the bar. And then the lower thirds and all of them would just be from the bar.
That's, and I have to say, that's weird.
You've never brought anyone, okay, I'm
no.
saying too, clearly I've overshared this entire podcast.
On a friend level, I've never brought someone back from the bar that I didn't know.
On a friend level, I like your, I like your addendum to that. I think I've gone places with people or like. I don't know if I've brought anyone back with me. I think I've maybe taken people back to a hotel or, like, I don't know. You're never supposed to follow someone to a second location.
Yeah, that's like I've watched the number too one many rule. Movies. I don't trust anyone.
Yeah. But then Below Deck set sail for the final time of season two.
It was good.
I wanted more from that really great pun that I just did, but... Because it set sail.
Oh, right. Ah! You went there.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Here is what annoyed me this episode.
Okay, okay.
That Adam, not once, not twice, three times confronted Wes to be like, but did I tell you this thing about Malia?
Right, right.
Like, give it up, Adam.
Right, right. Like, he doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
You could say that, like, you're going to go on a date with her tomorrow, and he still wouldn't care.
Right. Just give it up. It's fine. And again, I ask, this is the second time I've written this down. Who are these girls?
I don't know, but I think it's like, the whole time I was thinking of Lala. When she was on our podcast a few months ago talking about the private jets.
Oh, right, because she's like...
It's a plane, and... I like going on them, and I don't think I should feel bad for doing that.
No,
you know?
I want to go on one, so that sounds
we
amazing.
We all do. So why are you acting like, ugh, private jets? It's like, honey, I know for a fact if I were to invite you tomorrow to go on a private jet to a yacht, you would be coming with me. And the best part about it is you don't have to suck a dick. You know? It's like I want to take them just so they can see that you don't have to do anything except look good and be fun.
Right.
Handle your alcohol. That's it.
So, yeah, I kept being like, this is the Lala Kent model.
Right.
Like, it's just how you do it.
It made me uncomfortable. Like, the way that Jerry, the main charter guest, was, like, very possessive of them. And
You can't lead a horse to water and then be like, don't drink, Bobby. Like, I was like, that's not really fair. You literally put them on a date and then you're saying, no, you can't talk to her anymore.
Right. It was weird.
And then he tricked them.
I was like, ooh, he's smart and conniving, because, like, that's what I would do if I didn't want two people to hook up.
Right, right. No, it was very conniving. I'm going to miss Captain Sandy.
Right, I love shout her out. Oh, I liked her in her street clothes.
Me too. I was like, ooh, Captain Sandy. I just liked how all of them, too, were like, she's, like, the best captain I've ever had. She's so chill.
She's like, very supportive of them.
Yeah. Like, I was surprised that when the primary was like, Bobby's a problem or whatever, and I thought she was going to go get mad at him, but she was just like, well, it's just one more charter. We can... I was like, oh, that's cool. Because Captain Lee would be like, don't drag your, you know... Well, I don't know what he would say, but he would be like, don't do that. Anyway. Next week, there'll be a reunion.
I am so excited.
I know. I can't wait to see who hates each other now. Yeah. After watching this season. And I can't wait to see if Malia and Wes are still together.
I'm going to guess no.
I know the answer.
So, yeah. Can't wait to talk about that reunion when it comes out.
Yeah.
This was a fun week.
It was a fun week.
Last week was rough because of Luann's announcement, mm-hmm. So we were recovering slowly but surely.
I don't think I'll ever be the same, but right. I'm going to try.
Tweet us your thoughts.
Yes, you can tweet us your thoughts at BravoTV using the hashtag BravoDailyDish. You can find me at Rachie Robb.
And me at Meg Segura.
And wherever you're listening, please leave us a review. It really helps us to know what you want to hear. Do you like our news updates? Do you like our interviews? The answer is yes. Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me.